Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Coming full circle. Ald recognized as CMN champion. By Michael Bauer. Each year, local Children's Miracle Network hospitals identify a champion to serve as the face of the children treated at their local hospital. This year, Children's Miracle Network at Medical Center Health System has awarded the honor to 9-year-old Lorelei Ald. Ald, who lives in Andrews, was honored in a ceremony Thursday afternoon at MCH. She and her mother, Carla Wilson, were recognized by the Ector County Hospital District Board of Directors during their regularly scheduled board meeting. "It's very exciting," Wilson said of her daughter's recognition. "It's like seeing the story come full circle for her. She was one of the NICU patients, and now she gets to help spread the word to advocate for other children in the hospital." Ald was born 4 months premature in August 2013 and needed immediate medical attention after her birth. She was septic, had severe bleeding in the brain, struggled to breathe on her own, and experienced a low heart rate. Because of the funds and donations made by the Children's Miracle Network, Lorelei was able to receive the proper treatment, and Wilson is grateful that Ald was born at a CMN hospital like MCH. Children's Miracle Network helped Lorelei a lot when she was in the hospital, and they provided medical equipment that helped save her life, so she was able to get the best care possible when she was born about 4 months early, Wilson said. "So we are wanting to help more children and infants get the help that she got when she needed it. So we're excited to spread the word about what Children's Miracle Network is and help advocate for the kids in the local community." Wilson described being in the NICU as a roller coaster. "We were told that being in the NICU was going to be a roller coaster, and that was very well put," Wilson said. "There were lots of ups and downs. There were great days when we had victories, and then other days where we got news and didn't know how things were going to go. It was a lot of ups and downs." Ald was eventually transferred to another CMN hospital for neurosurgery and to complete her recovery and eventually be sent home. About a year later, she was readmitted to the pediatric unit at MCH for RSV and pneumonia, where she received top care and was eventually released. Today, she is healthy, and her family likes to share her story with the local community in hopes of helping other premature babies and their families. "We're pleased to have the opportunities to help organizations that helped us when Lorelei was in the hospital," Wilson said. "It's kind of like coming full circle. We get to pay it back." She wants other families who are going through similar situations to keep their faith. "Keep your faith and remember that God is good in all circumstances. He's still good when the bad things happen, and lean on him and trust him and listen for his guiding voice," Wilson said. To donate to Children's Miracle Network, go to tinyurl.com/22PAEZP3. Pfluger hosting 2 energy field hearings, by Royal McGregor. During his first 2 years in the House of Representatives, Congressman August Pfluger, Republican San Angelo, had 30 of his fellow representatives visit the Permian Basin. Pfluger, who is entering his second term as representative for Texas' 11th District, is set to match those numbers in a week, as 30 members of the House of Representatives are scheduled to travel to the Odessa-Midland area. On Friday morning, Pfluger, via phone, discussed the importance of having many of his colleagues in the House of Representatives visit the Permian Basin. We've already had several hearings in Congress on energy, Pfluger said. I pitched the idea that we need to be where the action is. We need the members to get a sense of the business and a sense of the industry and a sense of the work that goes into it. Honestly, it was a pretty easy sell. They want to see what we are doing. They want to see the people who are doing it. They want to understand and learn firsthand why they are doing it. There are two field hearings scheduled next week that will be open to the public. The first will be Natural Resources Field Hearing, Federal Energy Production Supports Local Communities, beginning at 2:30 p.m. Monday at the University of Texas Permian Basin Engineering Building. And the second will be Energy and Commerce Field Hearing on American Energy Expansion, Improving Local Economies and Communities' Ways of Life, beginning at 10:30 a.m. Thursday at the Bush Convention Center in Midland. Pfluger was recently named to serve on the Subcommittee for Energy, Climate, and Grid Security on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He was also selected to serve as the chairman of the Counterterrorism, Law Enforcement, and Intelligence Subcommittee. I'm very pleased to bring two very powerful committees on energy to the Permian Basin, Pfluger said. When it comes to educating Americans about what energy does for our economy, for our quality of life, and for our national security, nowhere is it more important than the Permian Basin. Pfluger didn't detail all of the House of Representatives members who will be in the Permian Basin next week, but he did say that Kathy McMorris Rogers, Republican, Washington, Bruce Westerman, Republican, Arkansas, and Jeff Duncan, Republican, South Carolina, are scheduled to be in attendance. McMorris Rogers is the chair for the Energy and Commerce Committee, while Westerman is the chair for Natural Resources Committee. Duncan also serves on the Energy and Commerce Committee. Pfluger said Friday morning the members will include Republicans and Democrats. To have two congressional hearings in 1 week in the Permian Basin is unheard of, Pfluger said over the phone. To bring what will likely be 30-plus congressmen and congresswomen from across the country, both Republicans and Democrats, to the Permian Basin in 1 week is absolutely unheard of. The issues that we will be talking about will set the legislative agenda for the rest of this Congress. If you go, Monday's event, Natural Resources Field Hearing, Federal Energy Production Supports Local Communities. Press conference at 2:30 p.m. and hearing at 3 p.m. at the University of Texas Permian Basin Engineering Building, 11105 West Highway 191, Midland. Tuesday's event, What? Energy and Commerce Field Hearing on American Energy Expansion, Improving Local Economies and Communities' Way of Life. Hearing at 10:30 a.m. and press conference at 1:30 p.m. at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main, Midland. Dancing with the West Texas Stars winners announced. The Crisis Center of West Texas hosted the 8th annual Dancing with West Texas Stars on February 4th at the Ector Theater. This year's winners are Grand Prize, Cindy Daniels and Gary Dutchover, Best Female Dancer, Nicole Poole and Parker Leroy, Best Male Dancer, Dr. Subodh Malik and his wife Anita, Most Entertaining, Kendall Gray and Kara Williams, and Best Costume, Archie Raleigh and Ryan Lewis. The remaining performing stars and their partners are Lucy Cisniega Hoyos and Beatriz Gonzalez Fierro, Todd Dooley and Kelsey Tanner, Lori Stafford and Diego Mata, Tryanne Stevenson and Emily Hamer, and Zach Stokes and Brooklyn Anderson. CCWTX's mission is to respond, to shelter, and educate to end domestic and sexual violence in West Texas. Donations are needed year-round to help provide services. To donate or for more information, visit ccwtx.org. Obituaries for Saturday, February 11th. Virginia Annette Brown. Lubbock. Virginia Annette Brown, a member of the Intercollegiate Tennis Association Hall of Fame and longtime advocate of the sport throughout West Texas, passed away February 6th at the age of 85. Brown was born June 22, 1937, to Preston T. and Virginia Hancock Brown in Fort Worth. She is preceded in death by her parents as well as a sister, Billy Yelly, and her brother, Preston T. Brown, Jr. She is survived by her brother, Gary Brown, and his wife, Joyce of Houston, sister, Betty Brown Murphy, and husband, Danny of Houston, and sister-in-law, Miriam Brown of Copperopolis, California. Surviving her include two nephews and a niece. She was great aunt to 10 great nieces and nephews and 5 great great nieces and nephews. She is survived also by longtime best friend Sandy Collins of Lubbock, as well as her daughter Reagan. Family and friends will celebrate Brown's life at 2 p.m. Friday, February 10th at Second Baptist Church in Lubbock. Donations may be made to the Red Raider Club, Post Office Box 45055 Lubbock 79409, or online at www.redraiderclub.com. David Gallivan. David H. Gallivan, Sr., 85, passed away Monday, February 6th in Odessa. Visitation will be held Tuesday, February 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Wednesday, February 15th at 10 a.m. at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church with Father Joseph officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. David was born in Boston, Massachusetts, November 5th, 1937, to Thelma and Joseph Gallivan. He is survived by his daughters, Diana Boykin and husband Donnie, Donna Scholl and husband Rick, sons David Gallivan Jr. and wife Sandy, Dusty Gallivan and wife Monica, 8 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Virginia Ruth Sissy Smith McClure. Virginia Ruth McClure Sissy was born May 15th, 1939 in Elmore and passed away February 8th in Odessa. Visitation will be held February 13th. From 6 to 8 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will take place February 14th at 2 p.m., officiated by Dr. Tim Gillian, with burial to follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. She was born to Bertie and Lee Ovid Smith and married Bobby McClure 57 years ago. She is preceded in death by her mother and her father, a son, Ronnie Royce Richardson, a son-in-law, John Crow, several nieces and a nephew. She is survived by her husband, Bobby McClure, daughter, Rhonda Crow, 4 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Freelance Rescue, Inc., Post Office Box 926, Stanton, 79782, or your favorite charity. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Luther Vernon Vern Foreman. Luther Vernon Foreman, 90, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 7th in Eastland. Graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. February 11th at the Family Cemetery in Stevens County. Arrangements are by Edwards Funeral Home, Eastland. Catherine McLean Green. Catherine McLean Green, 66, died Monday, February 6th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Luann Steele. Luann Steele, 66, of Odessa, died Monday, January 30th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Gracie Ella Lee. Gracie Ella Lee, 89, of Odessa, passed away February 7th with her husband and four children at her side. She was born and raised in Dickens, April 14th, 1933. Gracie married Charles Lee in June of 1950. She is survived by her husband, Charles Lee, their four children, son Kenneth and wife Deb of Granbury, daughter Elaine and husband David of Odessa, daughter Carla Francis and husband Gary of Breckenridge, daughter Vicky Shelton and husband Rodney of Eastland. She is also survived by 9 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, 4 great-great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held Friday, February was held Friday, February 10th, and chapel service was held Saturday, February 11th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Sandra K. Sandy McMillan. Sandra Sandy K. Livingston McMillan was born November 25th, 1952 in Kermit to Cotton and Dorothy Livingston. She passed away February 6th. Her parents, a brother, and a son preceded her in death. She is survived by her husband, daughters, a favorite son-in-law, 5 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, an aunt, and cousins. A memorial service will be held Wednesday, February 15th at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home Chapel, officiated by Daniel Hernandez. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 13th. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Monday Coffee for Women. Tenacious Women Ministries has scheduled coffee chats for women from 9 a.m. to noon on Mondays through May 29th. There will be a perfect chance to connect with other women and build meaningful relationships over a cup of coffee. Visit tinyurl.com/3T8ENUJZ. Guided Meditation. Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a guided meditation event from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. today, as well as every second Monday and fourth Thursday. Come relax, take your shoes off, and settle in for 30 minutes of peace and quiet while a guided meditation talks you through a themed session. This event is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2p8kswj6. Valentine's Day Card Craft. The Ector County Library Children's Department, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a Valentine's Day Card Craft event at 4:30 p.m. today. Come join the library staff to make a unique Valentine's card. Visit tinyurl.com/2p9waetm. Diabetic and Cardiovascular Support Group. Midland Health has scheduled a free support group from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. today and the second Monday of every month at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland. For more information, call 432-221-2285 or email morgan.tennis@midlandhealth.org. For the love of technology, the Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a For the Love of Technology event from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday. There will be giveaways, face painting, crafts, and more. The library will also open long-term checkouts for an assortment of tablets and hotspots. Visit tinyurl.com/2p8weyju. PPOA Valentine's Day Dinner and Comedy. The Professional Police Officers Association of Odessa has scheduled a night of comedy with James Johann Tuesday at the MCM Elegante Waterfront Atrium Room, 5200 East University Boulevard. The doors open at 6:30 p.m., dinner will be served at 7 p.m., and the show will start at 7:45 p.m. Tickets are $50 per person, with tables for eight available starting at $400. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/4hwvkyd8.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Factor V. Leiden and Testosterone Therapy. Dear Dr. Roach, I have Factor V. Leiden, but I have been wanting to do testosterone replacement therapy. I have heard that testosterone causes blood clots. Obviously, with FVL, that would be a huge deal for me. Is this true? Does it cause clots, or is it safe for me to do? RC. Answer. Factor V. Leiden is a common genetic variant that increases a person's risk for developing a blood clot. However, a person who has never had a blood clot but who is identified as heterozygous, meaning they only have one copy of the gene, which is by far the more common scenario, for Factor V. Leiden, still not likely to have a blood clot during their lifetime and is not recommended for treatment to prevent a blood clot. Testosterone replacement therapy in men with FVL does increase the risk of blood clots in some studies, but not in others. In the studies that have shown an increase in risk, the risk has been estimated as approximately one person per thousand treated with testosterone each year. However, the risk occurs mostly during the first 3 months, and after 2 years on treatment, there is no additional risk. Thus, roughly one man per 500 who has FVL and gets treated with testosterone will get a clot, according to the studies that show an increase in risk. This is a small risk, but a blood clot is a significant potential problem. So the risk of getting a blood clot should certainly go into the discussion about whether to give testosterone replacement to a man with FVL and symptomatic low testosterone levels. Most of the men I have seen with this issue have elected to take the replacement.
Hello, this is Susie Haynes with the Midland Reporter-Telegram from Saturday, February 11th, 2023, Section B, Dear Abby. Woman really makes herself at home when family travels. Dear Abby, whenever my husband, kids, and I go away, my mother-in-law insists on staying at our house. She then rearranges the rooms in my house, moving things to where she thinks they should be. She also manages to leave behind her toiletries in the bathroom. More than once, she has thrown a party for her friends during our absence. It drives me crazy. Going on vacation stresses me out because I have no idea what I'm going to come home to. When my husband tells her I don't like when she rearranges things, she gets defensive and cries about how she can't understand why I hate her. I don't hate her. I just wish she would respect my boundaries in my house. Advice? Invaded in Pennsylvania. Dear Invaded, I'm glad to provide some. The next time your mother-in-law insists on house-sitting while you are on holiday, say you have made other arrangements and do not waver. If necessary, change the locks. Dear Abby, my husband had a stroke 5 years ago. I've been taking care of him ever since. I recently found out that he cheated on me. I want to get him into a VA home. What form would I need? I'm hoping to avoid a messy divorce. I'm fine if we stay married but no longer live together. He accuses me of not doing anything. Our house is paid for and we have no debts. Our daughters are grown and live elsewhere. Should I contact an attorney? Wants out in the South. Dear Wants Out, by all means, contact an attorney. You have a responsibility for your husband's welfare. Abandoning him to a VA home may not be the best solution for him, even though it may seem like a convenient one for you. Do nothing in anger. Before making any plans, you might want to discuss this with your daughters, who may be able to suggest alternative solutions to the one you are considering, such as hiring a part-time caregiver for your husband. Dear Abby, long ago my parents purchased a large burial plot for our entire family, including spouses if we have them. My spouse isn't eligible because he doesn't fit the cemetery's religious requirement. My parents and I also don't see eye to eye on politics. Our relationship has greatly diminished over the last few years, so much so that I no longer want to spend eternity next to them when my time comes. Part of me says, let it be, but they seem to relish the idea that we will all be together, when in reality I do not. I'd like to be cremated, which also goes against religious beliefs. Thoughts? Bad son in Virginia. Dear son, I think it's your body, your choice. Because most parents die before their children, the odds of your folks being buried before you are great. In the meantime, since their fantasy is one big happy family plot, is something they relish, be kind and don't ruin it for them.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.